Hey, everybody, this is Trevor from Believe It or Not here, and a lot of people ask me the question, you don't believe in God, why do you care? Why do you talk about it so much? Well, I have Dave Farina here from Professor Dave Explains, and Dave, what do you care about?
I guess most narrowly, I care about science, and I care very specifically about public perception of science. As a science communicator, my job is to act as kind of a conduit between the scientific community and the general public to help the public understand what's going on in science, who scientists are and what they do, things of that nature. To zoom out, the reason I care about that is because I care about humanity and the future of the human species and society and everybody's right to pursue happiness and freedom and things of that nature. And I think science is tethered to that. And I especially think that the way the public views reality is tethered to that because that determines their voting and consumer behavior and so forth. So that would be it.
Awesome. I love that. So how long have you been doing the YouTube thing?
So quite a long time at this point. I'm actually kind of a YouTube dinosaur.
Yeah.
I started in January 2015 was when the channel was launched. So over 11 years I've been doing this, yeah.
That's. Is there anything that's surprising you that people are still confused about when it comes to science or
I suppose it is shocking that there still is even a single flat earther in the entire world. It's also kind of shocking that people still so hungrily consume flat earth debunking content.
Yeah.
I would have thought people would have been tired of it by now, but I keep putting it down and then I'll randomly do one and it's just like a million views really quick. I'm just like, okay, man, you guys want this? I'll keep doing it from time to time, but I know I'm doing much more important work in other areas. Yeah,
that blows my mind. Years ago, like I used to do sketch comedy and I was working on a sketch about where I would play a flat earther. And I was like trying to come up with the dumbest arguments I could come up with. I couldn't come up with anything better than what they were already doing. I couldn't make a video because I realized that there's no way people are going to think I'm not a flat earther because the arguments are already so ridiculous.
So stupid.
Yeah. Because I even tried a couple in like a flat earth debate page and I went in there pretending to be a flat earther and nobody could tell that it was a joke. Like, because
right.
I said, I have a ball and I have a frisbee. If I try to stand on the ball, I fall over. If I stand on the frisbee, I'm fine. The earth is flat.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's basically the way they argue anyway. So.
Yeah, no, they genuinely they think that the curvature should be as pronounced as like Le Petit Prince, you know, with a guy
yes.
standing on the little like ball that's like this big.
Yeah,
they just have no capacity for scale.
You know, yeah, no, not at all. Yeah. They're Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. What's grinding your gears these days when it comes to bad science?
So obviously just mountains of medical misinformation, a lot of which is now coming directly from the government and various federal agencies within that are led by Bobby Kennedy and his underlings and just kind of generally the Trump administration's attitude and behavior towards science, which I just put out a video last week on Russ Vogt, who runs the OMB, and this new ruling that will essentially completely destroy the American scientific community. So not to, everybody can watch that video. It's quite a quagmire, and I'll get all worked up if I start talking about it. But it's really
that.
Serious.
Yeah.
It's very, very serious stuff.
Yeah, it really is. And it's scary that the guy who famously ate a bunch of roadkill is now the guy saying, like, this is how you should eat. This is how you should, this is the way medicine works.
Yeah, the raw milk guzzling, roadkill eating, worm brain possessing freak show is in charge of American public health. We should all try to wrap our heads around
that. That's so scary.
Yeah.
So I just released a video about how hard it is for people to admit that they don't know something, especially when it is tied to their religion, and admit that they're wrong. Just admit that, okay, I don't know something, or someone might have a better answer than God did it. It's why do you think that is? Why do you think people can't just like admit that, hey, maybe something isn't working up here, and maybe I should listen to people whose brains are working.
Mm-hmm. Well, religion is unique in terms of how a worldview is constructed. It thrives on dogma and unwavering certainty directly from divinity. Fundamentalists, their scripture is literally true. It's unerring and no room for questioning. And to pretend you don't know something is to admit the fallibility of your religion and therefore your yeah. deity, and therefore the certainty with which you will enjoy an afterlife in paradise. And any kind of questioning the legitimacy of the dogma is pulling the carpet out from under their fear of mortality. And so people react literally as though you're trying to kill them, because in their heads, like, you're trying to destroy my precious afterlife dreams.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, yeah, for them, that is part of their extended life, and you're
trying to take
off.
That away from them. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess I've been there. I can't stop thinking about, you think that because space is a vacuum, that it's a vacuum cleaner? That's been running through my head.
Okay, so you've seen my content. Yeah.
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 That whole debate and, like, the aftermath of that, I guess, is there going to be another debate?
With Lord Jamar? No, he is going to be busy trying to pretend I don't exist for the rest of his life. But yeah, that's not new, right? It's not just him. He is recycling things that he hears from Eric Dubé and the other main kind of flat earth guru cult leaders. So I've talked about that before. The reason that interaction was so easy is because he was just literally regurgitating the exact script I've already debunked so many times. So I could, off the top of my head, crap on all of it. But yeah, this is stuff that the main flat earthers talk about, right? How can there be air next to the vacuum of space? Shouldn't space suck all the air up? And it's just like, how long do you have to talk about how dumb this is? You know, like, we can. It's just insane.
It's really insane. And I think you find that with so much of pseudoscience and just terrible arguments. It's not coming from curious minds. It's not coming from people who actually want to know how the world works. It's coming from people who want to be right and want to win an argument and want to be different. And so, you see those scripts all the time.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like, I struggle with debates because part of me is like, one person, like, it's not a meeting of minds. It's not two people who want to get to the truth. If that were the case, awesome. But, like, it's so often, like, one person who's like, I want to be right no matter what, and I am not going to learn. Like, learning is not an option.
And they're objectively wrong.
objectively wrong.
I mean, you can have debates. Like, there are things you can debate about. You could debate about, you know, how should we distribute the federal budget? Let's have a debate about it. And I lean more towards education, and I lean more towards this other thing. You can debate that, but the shape of the earth is not such a thing. And really, honestly, in science, you don't debate science, right?
No.
The way you debate it is you publish papers and you gather evidence and you put forth a very compelling case in the primary literature, and then another scientist might respond to it. And there are contentious back and forths. There are competing theories, and there are people who publish and try to make their theory better than the other. But like a debate, like a circus sideshow kind of a thing, which is what all debates on science end up being, which I participate in because they're going to happen one way or the other, and I'd like to be in there and be the one smacking down the opposition. You're right, it's not a debate. It's an educated person exposing a lying fraud. Which I do with glee.
When I have
the opportunity.
And I think it was an old, like, Daily Show thing where it's like, if you actually showed the real, like, science, like, you're not showing both sides, it's because all the scientists believe the truth. Like, all the scientists know how it actually works. And then it's like one guy who's like, actually.
Right. Oh, you're talking about the climate stuff. Yeah.
The climate stuff,
that one actually is always paid off by fossil fuels.
Yeah.
To say so, right? And they go on Joe Rogan and, you know, I'm actually an expert and I'm actually going to tell you the truth about climate science. No, you're lying. And Joe, you just refuse to have on any legitimate scientists that will tell you the truth about climate change.
But, And then how do you suggest people deal with like their relatives that say stuff like, I don't believe in evolution?
Well, there's a lot of ways you can react to that. One is to just kind of exclude them from your life indefinitely. That would be, I don't have any experience with that because I don't have any relatives that are like that. And I choose not to associate with people like that.
But
I mean, it just depends how much you want to ruin your relationship with that person. Yeah. I mean, you can decide to be very aggressive and try to convert them to the side of reason, which I'm pretty argumentative. I probably would do that. And I also have a very low tolerance for kind of bullshit around like the dinner table or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's a way to try to do it kind of tactfully. There's a way to kind of prod them with the Socratic method and, that's interesting. Where did you hear that though? Why do you believe that? You know, and try to get them to see how vacuous their entire worldview is without saying, you know, this is how science works. And, it's kind of a personal decision.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Yeah, it's funny too, like, because me, I've always been the type, like, when somebody says, oh, I don't believe in that evolution stuff, my reaction is always like, they're not actually saying, oh, I want to learn more about evolution, or I want to understand why you believe something. It's not believing, I just accept the way the world works.
Right.
But
we observe evolution every day. Saying I don't believe in evolution is like saying I don't believe in gravity. Like when flat earthers say I don't believe in gravity. Well, it's, you know, it's right here all around us, so I don't know what you're even talking about. What they're saying is scientific facts disrupt my ability to believe in some stories that make me feel special, namely God's deliberate creation of humans precisely as we are for some divine purpose. It's not compatible with reality, so they choose to disregard reality in favor of their illusions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you mind reacting with me to a sermon clip?
Okay.
Okay, so I already posted a reaction on my Instagram and Facebook page to this, and we can go through to some of the comments I got only on Facebook. I get the dumbest comments on Facebook. I don't know what it is, but
all the boomers are on there.
True.
So, you know. Yeah.
People talk about the Big Bang Theory. I could disprove that right now. Okay.
Do you think he's going to disprove it?
I do not think so. I don't. He does not know what it is for sure. Yeah. So
for sure.
You ever seen kids on a merry-go-round? I'm about to destroy the Big Bang Theory right now. The Big Bang Theory says that from a little swirling dot, something exploded and then created the solar system. A swirling dot, right?
Let's stop there. That's already a great place to stop.
Yeah.
No, it does not fucking say anything like that. No, nope. It wasn't a dot. There was no explosion, and it did not create the solar system. Our solar system was created approximately 10 billion years after the initial singularity. Our star is not even the earliest generation of stars. So this is absolutely insane. He doesn't know. So number one, obviously he has no idea what Big Bang cosmology entails and is utterly inequipped to talk about it. But more importantly, this is what's interesting about the hostility towards science is that more sophisticated propaganda like Discovery Institute, they actually embrace Big Bang cosmology. They embrace any aspect of science that they think is compatible with their propaganda. And honestly, Big Bang cosmology is, because if you really, really twist it deliberately as much as possible, you can argue that it aligns with the account in Genesis, right? Yeah. And so you really have to be dumb to fight against it. A smarter liar and science denier will say, see, Big Bang, you know, here's good, awesome science that confirms the Abrahamic God going, ooh, let there be light, and then there was light, and all blah, 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 blah. So he's double dumb,
yeah. Because I've heard so many arguments, too, about why in Genesis it says, let there be light, and then 2 days later, God creates the sun.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, no, that was light from God. God was the light that appeared then. And then now a lot of them are taking Big Bang cosmology and saying it was light at the beginning, and that's what it was referring to.
Although there wasn't, right? The recombination era was a couple hundred thousand years after the initial singularity, and that's when it was first transparent and able to transmit electromagnetic radiation. So still before the sun, quite a bit before the sun, but not at T equals zero. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So if the dot is swirling, right, and something exploded, that means everything else in the solar system should be spinning in the same direction. Because if kids fly off a merry-go-round, they're all going to be flying off in the same direction. Yeah, but there are planets that spin in opposite directions.
Wow. Okay, so is that the whole clip?
That's the whole clip.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, how long do we want to talk about? But so the point is that, I mean, how quickly can we summarize all this? You had an initial singularity and just energy that then very quickly congealed into matter. So you have a quark gluon plasma. And then as the temperature comes down, different things become possible. So yeah. Nucleons become possible after it cools sufficiently. And then there's even a time period where Big Bang nucleosynthesis is happening. So protons and neutrons are able to fuse. You get some helium, a little bit of lithium. Then it has to cool down even more for electrons to be able to couple with nuclei. So that's when you first get neutral atoms. So you're talking about like a couple million years after the initial singularity where you have just it's stable enough and cool enough that you just have a bunch of hydrogen and some helium floating around. They begin to collect by gravity and form stars, right? When enough gas collects that there's intense gravitational pressure inwards, that triggers fusion. So then you get that's what pushes outwards. That's a star. It's when you have enough gas or dust in later generations of stars that the tremendous pressure inwards triggers fusion, and then that fusion makes that hydrogen and other stuff glow. That's what a star is.
Yeah.
And so you have stars that all the stars are in galaxies. And so we're talking about way, 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 way after the Big Bang. And then there's many generations of stars, because once a star runs out of fuel, it's going to go supernova. But in the meantime, it's fused all of these other nuclei of different elements in there. So that gets thrown out. And then at the earliest, the second generation of stars, now these protoplanetary disks, because they're going to form stars again, have all of these other elements in them. So yeah. They're able to form planets. So this cloud of gas and dust will collect, and you have a central star with 99.whatever% of the mass, and then these other bodies that form at random distances from the star, and those are going to be planets, and the planets, many of them have moons as well. And so it's true, right? Conservation of angular momentum would dictate that all the planets spin the same way. That's yeah. true, and orbit the central star the same way. However, things happen, right? There can in an early solar system, it's a very chaotic system. So things are colliding all the time. And so, you know, whether an object towards the exterior collides with a planet more inward and shifts its rotational axis, or even causes it to spin the other way. So you have a formation of a solar system, but then things happen, collisions occur. And, you know, just the laws of physics dictate that when collisions happen, it's going to change the way things spin or perturb an orbit in a certain way. So, yeah, the guy just has no fucking idea about anything, literally anything. Astounding. Yeah.
And I love the argument, too. And this happens all the time with any pseudoscience, with any, like, my religion's right, so that the science has to be wrong, is I don't understand it personally, so it can't be true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the assertion of your own profound ignorance over the totality of human knowledge. That's what's so arrogant about science deniers in general, but obviously coming from a fundamentalist perspective. It's like, I get that thousands of years ago, nobody had any clue what has ever happened or what anything is.
Yeah.
But now we do.
Yeah.
So you have a choice to either catch up. You can apply yourself and learn basic information about all sciences, or you can just not, and then your opinion doesn't matter, right? It just doesn't matter at all. So
agreed. Like, I don't think anybody, who has these opinions should be making any decisions whatsoever.
Or speaking publicly.
It boggles my mind. But have you ever seen a bunch of kids fly off a merry-go-round?
I can't say I have. That would be a minor disaster.
Yeah, that would be pretty bad. And the first thing, like, I wouldn't be immediately thinking about, oh, actually, this makes me think of the solar system.
Yeah, totally.
God's making these children get hurt in front of me because he's trying to teach me a lesson here.
Yeah. Also, as though, like, flat earthers have this too. Like, he's trying to pretend that the solar system is, like, rotating super rapidly. Well, all the planets have orbital periods of years and years and years. And then the Earth as well, right? They try to pretend, oh, it's spinning so fast. How could the Earth be spinning so fast when we don't feel it? It spins once a day, dude.
Yeah.
One time in 24 hours. Get on a merry-go-round and have it spin one time in 24 hours. Pretty intense, huh?
Yeah.
No, not so much.
Nope, not at all.
So
I'm going to amusement park this weekend. I'll see if they can do that for me, just as a test.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'll show you some of the, or I'll see if I can find some of the comments here. They're just brilliant. And maybe they're right, you know? So if there was nothing to begin with, how did the Big Bang happen from nothing? So this guy's moving the goalposts.
Yeah. Yeah, moving the goalposts, although to play devil's advocate, I mean, it's a reasonable, like, to understand the origin of the universe is a very understandable confusion.
Yeah.
So he's not phrasing it quite right. Nobody is suggesting that there was nothing when that initial singularity occurred. It didn't come from nothing. But nevertheless, it is okay to be confused about the origin of the universe.
Yeah.
We do not have a resoundingly firm empirical understanding of the origin of the universe at T equals zero. At around T equals -10 to the -42 seconds, we start to know a little bit. After 10 to the -36 seconds, we know more. And after 10 to the -12, so starting one trillionth of a second after the initial singularity, we know a lot. Electroweak theory very, very firmly describes that epoch, and then beyond, we know even more. But that first little tiny trillionth of a second, we don't know. We don't know. And so it is okay to go, well, we don't know, and so I'm not sure. And honestly, it's okay to go, a god went like that, and that's what happened. And I don't really care if people believe in that god, as long as you go, a god went like that, and that started the universe, and then the rest unfolded according to our scientific understanding. That is a deism that does not bother me at all. I don't share it, but I don't even care to argue it with you. It's not an interesting conversation to me.
Yeah. My whole thing is, like, believe what you want to believe, as long as it's not hurting people.
Yes.
And that's the main thing. And bad science does hurt people. So I think that not allowing kids to learn about evolution in school, that not only hurts the kids, it hurts future generations.
Yes, and, of course.
So, let's see. Oh, yeah, there wasn't a Big Bang. Everything that exists was created. But the created is in all caps, so that's helpful.
Well, I mean, what's wrong with a more intellectually defensible version of creation incorporates Big Bang cosmology?
Yeah.
Right? That a god went like that, and then the rest unfolded according to cosmology.
Yeah.
In fact, that's not even really creationism, rigidly speaking. That's more deism.
Yeah. Yeah. And the idea that, some people just have that idea that, snap, God started it, and then he's like, cool, cool, cool. And then other ones are like, he's moving the pieces as on the board.
Yes,
it goes.
Progressive creationism. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is hilarious, too, by the way. I mean, it's like, what a loser, impotent God that you believe in, that he's like, I'm going to start a universe. Okay, nothing's happening. Let me, like, tweak it a little bit. And then, now we got a planet. That's kind of cool. But there's not, I want it to, like, have moving around thinking stuff. How do I do that? Okay, let me push these molecules together. Oh, I have a bacterium now. Okay, that's pretty cool. Now, but I want more, like monster stuff. How do I do that?
Right.
Oh, let me change some stuff. And then, now I got an, like, what a loser God. Like, why don't you believe in a God that is powerful enough to create a universe with all of the parameters in place such that life will arise?
Exactly.
That's a much cooler God to believe in, you know?
Yeah. This is from the same guy who did the what happened at the beginning or how did it start thing, but he said, but you pretend this whole complex world popped up from nothing like magic, right? I guess you kind of addressed that.
No, that's what they believe.
Yeah, exactly.
That they believe God farted out a magic universe.
Yeah.
There's no physical mechanisms described or elucidated in that belief system.
Yeah.
So from nothing is a straw man. You know, if you really want to talk about that first trillionth of a second after the initial singularity, we don't know. And also what brought about the singularity. I don't know. Nobody knows. Fine.
Yeah.
But the other problem here is that the precise logic associated with being confused about a universe existing without cause is never applied to their deity. They believe in a deity that exists without cause, an infinitely more complex deity that exists without cause, and they don't think about that for a second. That's very hypocritical, right? What's the cause of your deity? And if you want to go, oh, well, he was always there, so only things that begin to exist have a cause, but well, why does existing infinitely into the past or outside of time, why do those things make sense? This is also a cop-out.
Right.
You just want there to be a God. And so it's a logically incoherent position to be angry about a universe existing without cause and then believing in an infinitely more complex deity that exists without cause.
Exactly.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So
can infinite regress exist?
I don't know. I don't think so. It's not logically inconsistent to me, but
yeah, you know, I don't know. Because that's one of the arguments I hear all the time from creationists is like infinite regress can't exist, therefore God. But it's like, doesn't that the same thing? Like,
yeah, no, their deity is, they have to apply that to the deity as well. There's no argument you can put forward for the universe existing without a deity not making sense that doesn't then apply to that deity. Where does the deity come from? Is there a super god that made the god? It's all the way back. You know what I mean? Believing in a god, it necessitates an infinite regress of some kind.
Yeah.
So to me, it's just Occam's razor. I just believe the simplest thing, that there is a universe and there is no God. It doesn't mean that there cannot be a God. I just see no evidence for one. And the simplest worldview to me is atheism. It's the simplest view.
Yeah.
So I can't disprove God. I can just point out how illogical arguments for God of this nature are. They're just shit arguments. So.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, again, believe what you want. If that brings you comfort, cool, cool. Mm-hmm. It's not for me. That doesn't bring me comfort. But if it works for you, again, don't cause harm. Don't use it to be like, you know, this causes me comfort, so you can't marry that person.
Yeah, exactly. Or we are going to enact a fascistic takeover of the government with Orwellian mass surveillance and take away all your rights and shift all of the money into the oligarchy.
Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of those things. Were you surprised or did you kind of see it coming with the kind of anti-vax, anti-mask stuff with COVID?
I think I saw it coming, but I think that I did see it coming, but there a little bit of you wants to naively think, okay, we're facing a global pandemic. People are going to value medical technology and vaccines and stuff now. But I mean, yeah, it's given the conspiratorial nature of the public and the way they've presented themselves over the past 20 years or so, obviously it's going to be the vaccines are poison and, you know, COVID is a bioweapon and or viruses aren't even real in the first place. This is 5G stuff or Bill Gates is putting a microchip in the whatever the, you know, varying gradations of insanity. But I would say that I am slightly surprised as how widespread and mainstream this brand of science denial has become, how thoroughly it has infected the public. There are multiple lines of pseudoscience and anti-science propaganda that have infected genuinely the majority of the public, especially in America, and that they just will not hear anything to the contrary. They will not hear that that COVID vaccines did not kill a bunch of people or harm millions of people. They will not hear that SARS coronavirus 2 is zoonotic origin from the Huanan market. All of the epidemiological data confirms this. Yeah. They will not hear that Fauci isn't some maniac, horrible monster man. Right? Just the propaganda was just so thoroughly drilled into the heads of the public, and we can't recover from it. You know, it's crazy to watch.
Yeah, I talk about this so often, but like I remember I was in an Uber at the beginning of COVID and the guy said something about I just can't wait till things get back to normal. And I looked at him and I was like, I don't think anything's ever going to go back to the way it was. Like,
I don't know in the long run, but not right now. It's getting worse. It's getting way worse before it gets any better.
Oh, yeah, so, 100%. Yeah. In so many different ways, it just it blows my mind. Do you see anything kind of seeping in now that you are afraid is going to get worse as far as science denialism and things like that?
I mean, from the perspective of the public, it's hard to say because I think we are starting to see the very first signs of blowback from MAGA and MAHA as they start to piece together that this was all bullshit from day one. Yeah. Bobby is losing MAHA over glyphosate and PFAS and stuff that he very vocally said he wanted to regulate and then did the precise opposite and deregulated. So there are people that are were firmly brainwashed by MAHA. Yeah. That are like, wait a minute. So we're starting to see that a little bit. And then MAGA too. I mean, Trump is just, the approval rating is abysmal for a number of reasons. I mean, the Iran war in particular. But so I'm not sure how that's going to play out if we're going to see a full blowback to the point where the public unites a little bit more in terms of getting this administration out of office. So, and I'm very curious to see what happens with the midterms and if Trump tries to do anything to outright cancel the midterms, steal some of them. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to get really dark really soon because he, if he survives to the end of his term, will not leave peacefully. He absolutely will not. He's already openly admitted that he's going to violate the Constitution and try to attain a third term. And even if he does die, the powers behind him will continue. They will have lost their Hitlerian figurehead, but all the machinery behind him is going to continue to be intact. So we need a lot of grassroots politics ground up that will take a very long time to take hold, and then, you know, get back the Supreme Court and all this other stuff. So I just don't see this resolving anytime soon. And in the meantime, it could get so much worse.
Yeah.
So I'm worried. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. It's a scary world. And it, like, as somebody who doesn't live in America, but lives very darn close.
Yeah.
You see it, it's going to the rest of the world. It doesn't just affect America.
Yeah. And the rise of fascism is global. I dare I say there's a little bit of it in Canada, but definitely in Germany and Italy and it's happening. So.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We're getting constant commercials in Ontario about how safe the government is making the country, and it's all just more police on more corners.
Right.
And, making everything illegal, like homelessness is basically becoming illegal and things like that, where it's like, how do we not see this? This isn't safer. This is fascism.
Yeah.
Like, how do we not understand what's happening here? Mm-hmm. But you use the word, we're making your streets safer enough. They're forgetting what the consequences of that safe street
safer,
is.
Safer with a masked Gestapo that can murder anyone with complete impunity.
Yeah.
And we will see this. We will. I mean, I'm really scared that it is going to come to a head in full scale revolution, which in my estimation is needed currently at this point, full scale American, like French Revolution style revolution, which will swiftly be met with mass murdering of people. Yeah. And I don't know if Americans are up for it, right? There are other countries that I see do, like what's going on in Albania right now is like inspiring. I'm watching that. And I'm like, hell yeah. Go get that shit, Albania. Fuck yes. Yeah. And then obviously, you know, Gaza and stuff. But Americans aren't, I don't think, cut out for it, at least not in the large enough numbers required.
Yeah.
I think too many people are like, fuck it. I got my iPhone. I got my Netflix. Like, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily blame them. Like, I don't want to get murdered on the street. I have kids. Like, I don't. So I just don't know what's going to happen, even though I believe that, like, really full scale revolution is necessary currently today.
Yeah.
Already. So,
like, my sister lives in California, and she's trans and an immigrant, and she was stopped by ICE the other day. And like, she has her green card and everything. She's there very legally, but it's still a very scary experience to be a trans person, an immigrant, married to somebody of Mexican descent.
Triple checking, triple boxes there.
Yeah, and getting stopped by ICE. And then in the middle of it, the ICE agent's like, why are you acting so nervous? Oh, I don't know, because if I say one wrong word, I'm in a prison.
You could murder me.
Yeah,
you could murder me.
Yeah. Like, it just, Yeah, it's a very scary time, and I think it's time people stand up. Yeah. I think if people aren't standing up yet, it's time now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was on TikTok the other day and somebody posted a video about how protests don't really work. And I commented like, yeah, they do. And then I got a lot of angry feedback because I don't know if I worded it wrong or how it worked out, but a bunch of people thought I was saying that the only way to protest was legally and the only way to protest was peacefully. And I just want to be clear on the record. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying protesting is one of the options.
I mean, I support revolutionary action from those who are brave enough to do it. But in the meantime, peaceful protest does work.
Yeah.
And has become dangerous in the interim, not just in terms of physical violence from a militaristic police force, but also social ramifications. They are cracking down. I mean, what happened in pro-Palestine sentiment being treated as terrorism or terrorism adjacent. Like, this is what's happening now. Israel is so desperate. They have so thoroughly lost the PR war, despite buying out media, networks and just the billions per year of propaganda that they pump into the ecosystem. The whole world knows what Israel is now. They have lost conclusively. And so all they can do is strong arm governments into punitive damage for anybody who supports Palestine, or Lebanon, or Syria, or if you are pro-Palestine, we're going to get you fired. We're going to try to throw you in jail. We're going to do anything we can to silence this shit. And it's just this is where we're seeing fascism most clearly in the suppression of free speech in opposition towards genocide.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's. But they got Gwyneth Paltrow now, so things should shift, I guess. Yeah.
What a fucking cunt. I don't mind calling her that. She gets the C word.
Yeah, there are certain people worthless. Who get that word. Yeah, exactly. Because even like when I flew, because I'm not going to America right now. Once Trump came back in the office, I'm like, okay. Well, I have been to just when it was the first couple months that he was back in office. I have been down to visit my sister.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, I'm like, I'm just going to wait until things change, at least till, like, if there's big changes after the midterms or when he's gone, I'm just not going to.
Yeah.
But even, I flew to England in March, and because I have my, like, pro-Palestine pins and stuff, and I was like, do I take this off when I cross the border? When I go through? Yeah. And I ended up just putting on a different sweater or whatever, but it was like, that's a scary thing that like something so simple, like I don't think children should be genocided, could end up like...
You're a terrorist.
Yeah. Yeah, it just...
Are you in Hamas?
Yeah. I like hummus.
Yeah, Israeli hummus, right? Israeli hummus, Israeli couscous. They have to put Israeli before everything that they steal to make you, it is. Yeah. We made it.
Yeah,
believe
even
us.
There's a Palestinian singer at the World Cup right now, and Israel is like claiming her as an Israeli.
I know. Isn't that bananas? It's just like, you guys are so pathetic. Like, you just have to take everything. They tried to take the watermelon. They tried to turn that into an Israel thing. It's just like, good God. You're just so worthless, such disgusting, parasites that just take everything. And you don't just take land and lives. You steal culture. You steal essence because you have none. Israelis have no culture. They have nothing. It's a made-up country. They don't have anything. So they have to take the culture of the indigenous people and present it as their own. It's so pathetic.
Yeah, it's pathetic. It's disgusting. It's... and then they try to villainize you for for any sort of disagreement.
Yep.
And it's like, I mean, my country has a bad history with this stuff too. In fact, like, they probably stole some of our tactics with the way we treated the indigenous people. And but it's like, this is happening right now before our eyes.
I mean, Western colonialism, we all knew, we know the history of Western colonialism, and we know Britain was the great leader, and then America took the torch and everything. But it's just wild for it to be happening in 2026. Right now, a belligerent ethno state is stealing Palestine and stealing Lebanon and stealing Syria, and they're just expect the world to just, oh, that's cool. Yeah, go ahead.
That's fine.
You think we're going to just be cool with it?
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on. Like, just with the geopolitically, like what they did to the European flotilla. Now Europe is like, okay, you guys, this is bananas that you think you can do this to Europeans. And so hopefully sanctions are coming. Iran is bombing the shit out of Israel. So it's like, they're finally getting some comeuppance, but I just don't know how far they're going to be able to go with it, and also what Israel's response is going to be right now.
Yeah.
They're trying to integrate the Israeli and American militaries. Did you hear about this?
No, I hadn't heard about that.
They're trying to integrate the two militaries. They will be one military, which means a couple of things. Number one, no congressional approval needed for money sent over there. And number two, if they institute a draft, which they've been trying to do for a while now, American young men and women can be drafted to fight for Israel. So my kids, who are half Palestinian, could get drafted to go and murder Palestinians. They'd be forced, legally forced to do it. Can you wrap your head around that? I mean, my kids are very little, so we'd be gone way before they would have to do that. But there's no chance in hell I would take the risk of them having being drafted into the Israeli military. It's insane.
Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah. What a time to be alive.
You almost can't believe it. You almost can't believe it. You think about it and you're like, this is, you could barely even write this in like a dystopian, I mean, Handmaid's Tale is the closest, where you're like, this is scary because this is like basically exactly how it would totally go. Yeah. But it feels like that. It feels like the beginning of becoming Gilead. And you're just like,
well, I mean, so pretty much all, if not most, dystopian futures are really just things happening to people around the world, and they make it white.
And then they, right, and amp it up, you know, 50%. But yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's, I guess we can go into the lightning round.
Sure.
We've already discussed who your current nemesis is, so that's...
Who, Lord Jamar?
Lord Jamar or Bobby.
Bobby would be more of a nemesis, although it's not... He doesn't think about me as much as I think about him. He's got a lot of people on his tail. But yeah, anyone in the administration peddling disinformation would be number one.
Are you an early bird or are you a night owl?
I'm both. I barely sleep.
Okay.
I go to bed around 1. I wake up around 6:30.
Okay. And then is there any TV show you're currently watching?
Oh, right now we are binging Shameless.
Okay.
I never watched it. My wife had watched a few seasons and was always like, let's watch this. And then I was like, it's 11 seasons. And then finally we started it and I was like, I really like this show.
Okay. Cool. Amazing.
So we're on like season 8 or something. And I'm like, I want to see what happens to these people.
Yeah.
They're so flawed, but lovable. And I don't know. It's it's a good show.
Yeah. Okay. I actually haven't watched Shameless, and I've seen a lot of TV, but not Shameless. So,
cool.
What movie are you watching right now?
I can't remember the last time I watched. In general, I watch so few movies. But what was the last movie that I watched? I straight up can't even think of one. Is there one that came out recently? I haven't been to the theater since pre-COVID.
Oh wow!
Which is I might go for Odyssey.
Okay.
Although I do not, I'm such like a, I love like Greek mythology so much, and it's so like nostalgic, you know, like I have a thing about it. I just don't think that it's going to be good, but I'm going to see it anyway.
Yeah.
So
here's the thing. I've never said this publicly. I'm not a huge Christopher Nolan guy.
Yeah.
I
do think, I said this in a recent podcast, that I think he's overrated. I think that he's made really, really good movies. I think he's a great director, but he seems to be inhabiting this like number one spot in Hollywood. And I'm like, that seems a little bit of a stretch.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. I like him. I just feel
like Dark Knight is amazing.
Yeah.
Dark Knight is so freaking good.
Yeah.
And he has, you know, Interstellar's a really good movie. Like, he is good. Inception is a very good movie. I'm not going to say it's not a good movie. It's a little, you know, deliberately obtuse, but but he makes good movies. It's just,
yeah.
I don't know. He's like, I would say he makes the top 10 list of current directors, but,
I would say that too. Yeah. Especially like, I'm looking forward to some of the new guys coming up. I think there's some like Obsession. And I haven't seen Backrooms yet, but Obsession I really liked. And
I didn't see either of those, but in general, I like the idea of, you know, fresh voices and
Same. And then what is your go-to candy?
Candy. My kids are really into Haribo gummy bears, and I hadn't really had them in like a million years. But now that they're into them, we always have a huge thing in the pantry, and I,
okay,
you know, definitely at least once a day, I'm like, oh, all right, let's get some gummy bears.
Yeah,
those are really good. I'm not too much of a candy guy, but I definitely have those from time to time.
Yeah, where can people find you?
Professor Dave Explains on YouTube.
Yeah. Love it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.